Welcome to the MSF Farm Talk podcast, your go-to source for the latest innovation in the Mallee region. In today's episode, we're exploring the exciting potential of long coleoptile varieties and how they can be used as a powerful tool to improve emergence outcomes. I'm Tanya Morgan, and on today's episode, I'm catching up with Therese Macbeth from CSIRO and Andrew Ware, who's a research agronomist with EP Ag Research. And we caught up to hear about the latest research findings from their trial sites in the Mallee and on the Eyre Peninsula. Learn about where long coleoptiles may fit in your farming system, whether you're looking to enhance your seeding strategies or stay ahead of the curve with the newest agricultural breakthroughs. This episode is packed with insights you won't want to miss. Take a listen. We did an interview with you a couple of weeks ago on a podcast, Therese. We're talking about how farmers might use long coleoptiles in their seeding program. But now we'd like to hear about some of the research and some of the outcomes that you're seeing in the field. You've got two sites that you've been working on in the Mallee in the last year. There's a site at Lewaldy in the southern Mallee and one in the northern Mallee at Waipori. What did you find at those two sites?
Last year in the 2023 growing season, we had a very dry start at Waikare, and we did capture some benefits of sowing deeper where there was a small amount of moisture below that 0 to 10 layer. So we planted at about 11 centimetres last year. In that case, it was a very dry growing season and we had a lot of stress. It didn't translate to a yield benefit, which is unlike the season prior where we had seen some yield benefits where the crop got up and away in a repellent sand. The other site that we had last year at Lewaldy was on a repellent sand. In that case, we were comparing using deep sowing in the presence and absence of spading. So we were looking at whether long coleoptiles provided a benefit in those ameliorated sands where you sometimes are prone to furrow infill and drift.
So how much does soil type play a role in the success of long coleoptiles?
Soil type is really important, and I think Andrew probably has the best contrast in soil type in his work on Eyre Peninsula, so I might let him talk a little bit about the effect of soil texture for soil type.
Absolutely, Andrew. So you had a site at Wominda and Ungara. Tell us about the characteristics of those sites and how things are slightly different for you.
So the site we chose at Wominda was on it's a fairly sandy soil type. The reason we chose it was because there's a bit of non-wetting in the top 10 centimetres, say, and growers through that part of the world have a bit of limestone, and so amelioration techniques on spading aren't always possible. They consistently have moisture just below that non-wetting layer, and so we thought if there's an opportunity to be able to exploit that by sowing a fraction deeper than what we normally would. And I guess the contrast to that was we went over to Ungara, which, well, it's only 50 k's away, is on a clay loam, or a loamy clay type soil, so it's a lot heavier texture. And the contrast that we saw last year was this, just getting the same establishment numbers in that heavier soil type compared to the sand was a lot harder to achieve, particularly the deeper we went.
So this is on a drying surface layer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where the soil gets hard as it dries down.
There's a considerable amount of sodium and potassium in that stuff as well, so it seals, and we deliberately chose the trickiest bit of dirt that we could.
Yeah, well, that's really good to know. So when people are looking at implementing long coleoptiles in the system, not every paddock's going to be perhaps suitable to getting the most out of the technology. What are some of the key things people should be thinking about? So soil type, how does temperature play an impact?
In the work we've done so far, we're not actually, particularly with deep sowing, because soil is a very good buffer for temperature. So once you're below 3 or 4 centimetres, the temperature's buffered and you're not encountering temperatures that affect the progression of that coleoptile. So for us in our autumn condition, temperature is not a limiting factor. Something else to consider though, and we're still exploring what the optimum setup might be, is the way the seeder is set up, because the way the seeder behaves at 3 to 4 centimetres is quite different to 7+ centimetres. So that affects the way the seed is placed, the condition of the seed bed, the way the furrow fills in, and the separation with the fertiliser as well. So these are things that we're exploring this year.
What are the sorts of things you're looking at in the seeder setup?
So this year we're playing with a range of different openers. We're interested in how fertiliser placement affects the vigour of that establishing seedling, especially when you've sown it deep, because it's going to take more energy for that seedling to come up. And the other thing that we are looking at is how that setup affects the soil strength. So we've got little handheld penetrometers now where we're looking at how strong the soil is in the seed bed when we're getting that seed in deep, because we think that might be affecting how well it establishes.
And Andrew, what are you looking at on the Eyre Peninsula this year?
Really similar sort of things. So we are chosen a more tricky bit of dirt this year to play in, so we're really testing out sort of particularly some of those soil strength issues, and we're still looking at how we can actually physically get a seed into the ground at those 10 top centimetres with a range of different seeding setups. It's not as easy to achieve on the heavier dirt as it is the sand, just getting that consistency of seed placement.
It's the 19th of June when we're recording this. We've had a very dry, a very delayed start to the season. Have you assessed any of your long polyoptile trials already this year? What are you seeing?
We have from the Mallee. We've got a site at Wenaka this year, and we've been very surprised at how well the crop has established from deep, and it's given us at least a 3-week jump on the shallow sowing plots this year. So definitely in conditions like this, even though the moisture seemed very marginal at depth, it was enough to get that deep sowing crop established, and we're now seeing the crop at Wakery establishing as well, which is drier again. So okay, some surprising results, and that's something we really need to work out. Well, what's the trigger for deep sowing? What's that critical amount of moisture that you need? I'm not sure we know the answer because we keep being surprised.
And Andrew, what have you seen?
Probably similar. So we had one other site that we were sowing a separate, totally separate trial in, and we, there's a bit of moisture at 10 centimetres, let's have a go, and on a fairly sandy soil type, and that came up on next door to no moisture, and you contrast that to the heavier site that we've got this year at Lipson, and you could form a bolus with the soil down at 10 centimetres, and you think, oh yeah, we could get, if we're into this, we could get a crop away, but it's really struggling to emerge from that deep and the heavier soil type this year. So yeah, it's just reinforcing those messages about understanding what soil types and just like Trace said, we're understanding how much moisture we need to trigger a germination event when we're going down that deep.
Growers have been very interested in the technology this year. Good to see that there's some significant differences in the field, so that there might be some really good application, especially when we get some better adapted varieties for different environments. Therese, you talked about how a grower in Western Australia had been using the technology. Do you want to elaborate on that a bit more, how that fits into the whole farming system approach?
Our workshop in Glenelg earlier this year, we had Callum Wesley as a visiting speaker. I actually think he'd be a great guest for your podcast. And he, so he's part of his program, Deep, using long coleoptile varieties. And he sees it as a risk management tool, as a way to expand his sowing window earlier into April. In doing so, he accepts a yield penalty for some of those varieties that are currently on the market. And he's eagerly awaiting some of the new cultivars that are in the pipeline that have longer coleoptiles. One important point that came out of Callum's talk, and more broadly talking to growers, is in our previous trials, we really pushed the technology and we were sowing at 10 plus centimetres. But actually what we're looking for is a technology that allows us to taste moisture and just sow deeper than we do now. So that means more like 7 plus centimetres. And our new trial designs reflect that we are operating in a range from 7 centimetres right up to 11 centimetres now. And that should be more within reach of growers now that we're trying to consider that broader range of depth.
It's an exciting technology, and looking forward to seeing how the trials pan out for the remainder of this year. Anything else new on the horizon? When are we going to see some new, better adapted varieties, do you think?
We don't know.
No idea.
Apparently all the breeding companies have got the genetics in their program, and it's just a matter of seeing how long it will take to restore the system.
Yeah. Andrew, what's the uptake of long coleoptiles been like on the EP so far?
There's already varieties around that have longer coleoptiles like that, and AGT have been quite active in promoting Calibre as having a longer coleoptile. And growers have taken that on board, and you hear stories that we had the driest 3 months to the end of May we've ever had on my dead vinegar, and growers took that on board by sowing quite a bit of caliber through their front boot on a dual parallelogram system, so they were getting it around that 6 to 7 centimetres. Some of that's been quite successful, but like Therese said, we don't farm in nice even soil types.
But I guess from a ground cover point of view, some of the trials have been funded by the Robust Ground Cover Project, just to get that ground cover earlier in the season.
And the weed competition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there are other systems benefits that may not directly link to yield.
Yeah, your measurements.
There is one more area that we're exploring, and that's around that early nutrition. When you put your seed through that front boot, then you're putting your fertilizer above the seed. We're combining growth rate experiments with the field for this, and we are showing that there is a vigor lag when you have that fertilizer above the seed, and that vigor lag relates both to nutrition and the ability of that seedling to deal with disease pressure. So we're continuing to work on that fertiliser placement question, which is why we're playing with those different openers where you can do side banding and other things that improve the access of the seedling to the fertiliser.
There's a lot of work continuing in this space, and long coleoptile is definitely showing some potential, but we need to fine-tune how we use them in the system. Great to see that we're seeing some early emergence results compared to conventional varieties. But will that translate to yield? I guess we'll wait and see.
That's right. At the moment in the Mallee, we certainly saw that 3 to 4 week head start, and I think that was echoed on some of the sands on Eyre Peninsula. That can make a significant difference, but it really depends how things play out later in the season.
Thanks to Therese and Andrew for joining us on today's episode. For more information about the Robust Ground Cover Project, head to the MSF website. This project, titled Developing Robust Ground Cover to Enable Resilience in Low Rainfall Mixed Farms, was brought to you by the Australian Government's Future Drought Fund. We also acknowledge the GRDC Integrating Long Coleoptile Wheat into Australian Farming Systems Project. Thanks for joining us. If you want to hear more, like and subscribe to the MSF Farm Talk podcast. Catch you later.